Welcome to another message from Charles Millett Ministries. For more information, contact Christian Provision Ministries at 919-774-9462 or visit us online at www.christianprovision.com.
It's great expectations on your radio.
Get clear.
Let's get clear, y'all.
Get focused.
Let's get focused.
Get moving. Great expectations.
With the Bishop
Charles Millett.
Yeah. With the Bishop
Charles Millett.
You're rocking with the Bishop
Charles Millett. Great expectations.
And y'all, the truth of the matter is, the more you and I spend our time trying to really get it done, or the more God has to struggle with us, the less likely God's gonna do it. Why? Because God ain't gonna share his glory with me. And he's not gonna share it with you. So God says, you know what? You struggling with it. You want it your way. You doing it. So I tell you what, I'm just going to step back until you finish doing you. And when you finish doing you, then I'm going to step in and do me. Why does God wait for you to do you, then step in and does him? Because God says, if we do you when it's all said and done, people ain't going to know who to get a credit to. So sometimes what God will do is God will step back until all of your options are exhausted. And then he steps up. I was sharing with someone just the other day, and y'all, it's not always the easiest thing, but please hear me. People tend, without really realizing it, to look for God in the event. In other words, you're dealing with something and it's like, where is God? Something that you wanted to happen and it didn't happen, where is God? Something happened that you were sure it wasn't going to happen, where is God? And naturally, we all can be like that, but you don't find God in the event. You find God in the response. So when you want to find out where God is, God is found in how you respond to the event. So I walk up and someone does something to me that I really wish to God they were not going to do. And I'm like, God, what is that? I didn't do. Why? And then God is not even in that. God is standing back and he's saying, I want to see how you're going to respond to what you found yourself in. And in your response is where you'll find me. You were sure that you were going to get it, and you didn't get it. And you say, well, where is God? God is not in what you didn't get. God is in your response to what you didn't get. And the enemy would have us to really lose it because we look for God in what we go through. And God is really not in what you go through. God is in how you respond to what you go through. That's why Jesus said, hanging on that cross, Father, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? But then he said, Father, into your hands, I place my life. And God closed the chapter and responded. Touch your neighbor and say, God is always found in your response and not in the event. So let's take the limits off of God. Paul goes to God, and this is what he says. He says, God, I love working with you. I appreciate where you brought me from. I'm grateful for the things you've done in my life. And then he says, but if you just move a few things, I could serve you a whole lot better. If you remove this thorn in my flesh, three times. If you just do this, I can serve you a whole lot better. And y'all, we're like that sometimes. If you just fix this in my wife, if you fix this in my children, if you fix this with the job, if you do this in the family, if you do this in my body, if you do this in my money, if you do this for my baby, Lord, if you just, you think I'm serving you now, if you just turn a couple more things, I'll really show you how I can serve you. And God says to us, like he says to Paul, my grace. My grace is sufficient. Why? Because sometimes there are things that we want to remove, crosses that we don't want to bear, that God has every intention of using. Because God said, I'm going to take what was meant for evil and I'm going to use it for your good. But if you and I move every single cross and every single thing in our way, God didn't have anything to use. I shared with the church a few weeks ago, I had a family member that was going through something, and I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to help them with that. I'm going to take care of that. They don't have to go through that. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, that's my cross they're bearing. You're going to try to take something off of them that I've anointed them to bear. Shh, glory to God. And you know what I had to do? Get out of God's way. But you know how sometimes when it's within your power, if you're not careful, you'll reach out and just take care of it. Oh, but thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. So there's certain things that we want to move that God is really using to work for you. Jacob was a brother that wrestled with God literally all night. And he was determined. He said, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. I already have seen that blessings are there and I want it, and I'm going to wrestle with you until I get it. And Jacob wrestled with the angel literally all night, which is the equivalent of really wrestling with God all night. And finally, the Bible says that the angel threw his hip out of socket. In other words, God finally had to throw his hip out of socket to get Jacob at a place to realize, I didn't come to wrestle with you. I came to bless you. And you're telling me you ain't going to let me go. In other words, you ain't going to turn that way loose until you see the blessing in that path. And God said, I didn't come to wrestle with you. You don't need to wrestle with me over that. I came to bless you. God threw his hip out of socket. But I prophesy over your life that God's not going to have to throw your hip out of socket to get you to receive his blessing. Is there anybody receiving this right now? And finally, because God put him at a place where he could realize, this is not you. It's I am God. I am the Lord. It's my pleasure. It's my counsel. It's my purpose. I will perform it. I will perfect it. If I said it, only I can back it up. And so God puts you at a place where you have to accept that it's God that's doing it. Focus. Focus. God is making away. And somebody needs to know that God can never be stopped. He bragging on himself. He ain't got no competition from the devil. He ain't got no competition from man's system. And somebody needs to know that what's difficult for you is not difficult for God. It's not the easiest thing to embrace when you're dealing with something difficult, but it's the truth. It's not difficult for God. God has a million ways he can bless you. I hope you receive this. God has a million ways he can bless you. And he only needs one. One. Sometimes we make the mistake of feeling like we got to have a lot of people. And the truth of the matter is, God only needs one person. One person can show up in your life and shift your whole life. One person can show up in your life and all of your disappointments, past hurts and pains can go away. One person. One person. And a million ways to bless you, and all he needs is one. Number two, leverage your oneness with God. The God who cannot be stopped has made provisions for you and I to be one with him. Do y'all remember the brother Abram? His name was Abram before he became Abraham. Over in Genesis chapter 15, you can look at it in your leisure. God is talking to Abraham about how he's going to bless him. And Abram says to God, how are you going to bless my seed and I don't have no child? And God says, I'll tell you what you do. Step outside your tent. Look up at the sky. If you can count the stars, then you can count your seed. Abram was stuck looking at the fact that he didn't have a child. And God said, I don't want to talk about a child. Let's talk about millions. Step outside. Let me give you a sneak preview of what is to come. Let me give you a Kodak shot of what exists. You don't even realize that I'm working behind the scene. And my desire is for you to be one with me. And I'm telling y'all, God does some of his best work when it looks like he ain't doing nothing. And a lot of times it's easy to get discouraged when you take an apple seed and compare it to an apple tree. But what you don't realize is in the seed is the tree. So what looks like nothing, God has big plans to turn it into something. God is working behind the scenes in your life. And so Abram said, how you going to do this? You know, who you going to use? You know, look, my wife Sarah is barren and I'm old. So here he is allowing his limitation to put limits on God. He's allowing what he does not have to dictate what God can do. And you and I can't let what we don't have put limits on God. God said, you want to talk about a child? Let's talk about millions. In other words, God said, your prayer points are too small. What you're talking to me about is too small. You're looking at what you don't have, putting a limit on what I can do in your life. God is huge. God is great. And we got to take the limits off of God. And we do that by leveraging our oneness with God. And in that same chapter, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2, God says, this is what I want you to do. Take animals, offer a sacrifice. Abram took the animals, hung them up, cut them down the middle, let the blood from the animals run down in the trough. And then what he did is literally walk through that blood. Because the way covenant was cut in the Old Testament is two parties would come together. They would take the blood as a sacrifice from the animals, and then they would take their shoes off and they would hold hands and walk through the blood together. And they were saying that we are cutting covenant. We become one. What's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. I help you. You help me. And if any one of us break this covenant, may what happened to these animals happen to us. And God told Abram, let's cut a covenant. This is what I want you to do. And when you go read it in your leisure, you will find out that Abram did just that. And then that night, God came down in the form of fire. That was the equivalent to God and Abram entering into covenant over what God promised him. They became one right then when they did that. And there are certain things in your life that you go through, and God uses that event to cause you and him to become one. Especially when you're at a place and you're walking through a moment, season, and a place when God would ask me to do something. And don't want to do it. God never asks you for what you don't want to do. He only will ask you for what you need to do in that moment. And God will use that moment for you and him to become one. How can I get through this? How can this happen? How will this come to pass? Lord, will I be able to press through? And God says, I'm going to use that to cut covenant with you. That divorce that was painful, disappointing, and you thought that was it. And God says, I'm going to use that for us to become one. That painful, disappointing, discouraging situation, I'm going to use that for us to become one. That bad report, that bad news, I'm going to use that. God, I'm going to use that. Jesus is hanging there, dying for all of us. And God used that moment for him to become one with God for you and I. You and I, God's not telling us, go get an animal, hang it up, cut it down the middle, let the blood run, walk in that blood so you become. No, God uses the equivalent of what we go through in life as places for us to become one with him. And then God looks at us and says, leverage your oneness with me. Take advantage of the fact that you are one with a God that cannot be stopped. But do you think if God left it up to me or left it up to us as to what we would allow him to use to make us one? Oh, we might use the party. Or, okay, we might use the fact that we hope we can get paid so we can pay the cable bill or get some gas money or get a raise or maybe even get a place to live. But God goes deeper. He goes deeper. Things like that, he don't always use them, but he will. But God looks for that thing that you don't want to really do or give up. I can't turn this child loose. This is my baby. I can't turn this child. I can't let this go. I can't let these 2 acres go because grandma lived here. And I don't care. We ain't doing nothing with it. I know they offering us $500,000, but these 2 acres, I got to keep it. Now you wondering how you gonna pay the child's tuition? And you got the 2 acres, but because it's been in the family forever, you got no plans to build it, but you got bragging rights, so I still got it. And then your child is at college wondering, am I going to be able to stay, knowing you stress it over? And the Lord says, I know you don't want to let that go, but right now, I'm trying to make you one with me because that land is not your Jehovah Jireh. I am. And until you let go of what you would rather hold on to, glory to God. Look at your neighbor and say, focus, focus, focus. Touch your neighbor and say, I received this too. Why? God and Abraham are one. The barrenness of Sarah, the barrenness of her womb, and the oldness of Abraham was stopping the child. But when Abraham and God became one, barrenness and old age couldn't stop them. Homegirl was way past the age. Brother man, way past the age. And the Lord said, you ain't old as you think you are. Because I'm God. God can do it. God is still in the miracle working business. So leverage your oneness with God. Because he's not coming to wrestle with you. He's coming to bless you. Just like he did with Jacob. When God got through with Jacob, he said, your name is no longer going to be Jacob. Your name is going to be Israel. They became one with what God wanted to do. Please write these down as we close right here. Just what you need to do. The problem you have is the promise God made you. That's the problem you got. Because you'd be like, how? How are we going to get through this? How am I going to get past this? How am I going to survive this? How is this going to happen? How can this be? When will this be? And if God hadn't made you a promise, you wouldn't have so much to lift your expectation to. And just like God did with Abram, God will bring greatness out of your limitation. The thing that you think. Listen, y'all, I've seen people. I'm grateful for education, and is, and we're grateful to God that people are able and go to school and get the academic achievement and be able to excel and the degrees can open doors and put you in places, and it should, and you work hard and you're entitled. But let me tell you something about God also. God can put people in places that don't have all those letters behind their name. Now, that don't mean you're not, well, I ain't going to college. Bishop done said the Lord will do it without it. You ain't, no. I didn't say that. I'm saying the Lord can do it. But if you know you're supposed to go to school, you should. I walked last night just in a convenience store, and a young lady was working behind the counter. And I was paying and getting ready to leave. And the Lord said to me, tell her, her schooling is not over. And I looked at her, and the Lord said, tell her schooling is not over. So the first thing I did, I said, you go to school? I'm becoming one with God. So I said, you go to school? And she said, no. I said, you sure? She said, no, I dropped out. And she said, I dropped out because I got pregnant. And I said, don't worry about that. I said, God's got you. I said, don't give up on your future hopes and dreams. God still got major plans for you. And she just started to cry. I never seen her before. She just started to cry. And then I said, the Lord wanted you to know that. And I walked out of the store, leaving her with her tears splashing on the counter. But that's all she needed in that moment. That's all she needed in that moment. What was I doing? I was telling her, God's going to bring greatness out of your limitation. What looks like something that has limited you and held you back, God's got a plan. I wish you would grab about two people right now and just say, bounce back. Oh, y'all didn't say it like it. Come on. Bounce back. John 30 and 33, you can look at it, your leisure. Jesus says something that upsets a religious believer. He starts saying, me and my father are one. They said, kill that cat, man. He said, kill him. And Jesus said, what miracle y'all going to kill me for? They said, we ain't killing you for none of your miracles. We're going to kill you because you think you and your father are one. Let me tell you something. When you line yourself up and leverage your oneness with God, all of those excuses that you've been making for why you can't do this and can't do that, those excuses will fall to the ground and go out the window. Good God Almighty. He said, we won. And it bothered them. The devil really gets upset when you leverage your oneness with God. God goes to Moses. The children of Israel are enslaved in Egypt. He tells Moses, I need you to go to Egypt because I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses is like, I'm not the man. I can't talk. I don't really have the confidence. I don't know if I can do it. God said, I got you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to give you some assistance. When time comes for you to open your mouth, you're going to say what needs to be said. Just go. Just go, Moses. Moses goes down there and starts talking to Pharaoh. Let God's people go. And every time Pharaoh would get ready to let him go, God would harden his heart. But wait a minute. God told Moses to go down there and tell Pharaoh to let the people go. Why would you tell me to tell Pharaoh to let the people go, and then when he get ready to let them go, you harden his heart? Oh, because God is always working behind the scenes. See, if everything would have went just like God told Moses, Moses would be like, I got this. God, sit down. You done sent me down here. I got it. No, God said, even when I give you something to do and you get the courage to do it, just because you have the courage to do it don't mean you can do it without me. So each time God would harden Pharaoh's heart, harden Pharaoh's heart. And then finally, God told Moses, said, I got one more thing to do. This last plague, he's going to let him go. God said, after tonight, he's going to push y'all out of Egypt. Said, this is what you do. He said, tonight I'm going to bring judgment on Egypt. He said, pull all my people together and tell them to take the blood of the lamb and put it on their doorposts. And the spirit of the destroyer is coming through Egypt tonight because I'm going to judge Pharaoh and I'm going to judge Egypt. And he said, after tonight, all that bondage is going to be over. You're going to be set free tonight. Woo-hoo. And I know some folk have been dealing with stuff for a minute in previous years. But God said, mark this year. This is the year of spiritual renewal. This is the year for expecting God's will to come to pass. You're not going to be able to do it without God. God said, this time.
They put. Get clear. Let's get clear, y'all. Get focused. Let's get focused. Get moving. Great expectations.
Charles Millett Ministries would like to thank you for listening to this message. We pray that the favor of God continues to elevate your life. Our mission is to get clear, get focused, and get moving. If you want more information about our ministry, please contact Christian Provision Ministries at 919-774-9462 or visit us online at www.christianprovision.com.
Yeah, you on with the Bishop
Charles Millett.
Yeah, with the Bishop
Charles Millett.
You rocking with the Bishop
Charles Millett. Great expectations.